Hi, this is Connie Smith with OSU Extension Fairfield County. Tim McDermott, Franklin County Extension Educator, is back with us today, and we're going to talk about, it's not really a tick crisis, Tim, is it? It's just a tick awareness.
Well, Connie, we are slowly but steadily moving towards crisis. At least what I get in terms of feedback when I talk to client residents, depending on where I go, it seems that pretty much any time I do a class or a presentation on ticks to various audiences across the state, multiple people in that room come up and mention to me that either they or a loved one or their pets have had Rocky Mountain spotted fever, or they've had Lyme disease or know someone that has that, or they have gotten the mammalian muscle allergy and now they are chicken eaters or fish eaters.
No cheeseburgers.
No cheeseburgers.
Well, Tim, you know, you have thrown out some words here that kind of made me stop and think, because you talked about this personal protective plan, and it sounds a little scary, but then I understand. You've helped us understand why this is important. And when you say you're in a group and people say, I have a relative who's had Rocky Mountain spotted fever, and yikes, I found a tick, help us understand if that is us. If I've been out in the woods, I've done everything you told me, I have used DEET, I have bought permethrin, you know, treated clothing, I think I've done the right thing, but the tick still found me. This ticks, I still found one right here, Tim. How do I get rid of it safely? Do I pull out the matches?
So there is a process that you want to go through if a tick makes it through your personal protective plan. If you can catch the tick before it embeds in you, you have no worries. You don't have to do anything special for that. Once a tick is on you and it grabs you as you walk by, it is going to walk up until it finds its preferred feeding location, usually somewhere around the hairline on people. If it has enough time, then it will find a place to feed where it will embed. It has a feeding, piercing, sucking mouth part called a hypostome, which picture a broad-bladed shovel with serrations like a harpoon.
Okay.
That gets injected into the host, and then it secretes a number of different substances, some anticoagulants so your blood doesn't clot, because it's going to be feeding for 7 to 10 days if it gets its way, and then it's going to secrete some cement and glue so that it doesn't fall off, because they get sizably bigger after feeding.
You're kind of bordering on the scary part. I just want you to understand that, okay? Because
well,
I'm not liking this right now.
In the first segment, I mentioned how I like to terrify
you're doing
folks
it. You're
to
good.
Make sure that they take this seriously. So if you find a tick on you, there is a removal method that you need to use to make sure that you safely remove it and then go through the process of making sure it did not carry disease. I have a model here that was created by a colleague of mine, Dr. Sarah Short, who's an entomologist at Ohio State, that we used for COSI. So one of the key things to realize is you would not just grab it by the abdomen and try to pull it off, because
okay,
that mouthpiece is embedded in the host and glued on. So if you just grab it by the backside and try to pull it, you might actually rip the abdomen off. Or if you squeeze that, you might actually inject more of the gut contents that potentially carry bacteria or viruses into you as the host.
Okay.
The same reason that you wouldn't try to remove it by applying a lit match or a kerosene or Vaseline or any of the sort of old wives' tale
yeah.
removals that I've seen.
Right. Right.
The key is that you would take a pair of tweezers, or they make special tick removal tools.
Sure.
And you want to get to where you all the way at the base of the skin can push down so that you can remove it by getting the mouth part out completely.
So you push down and then pop up like...
Push down to push your skin down a little bit to make sure that your tool or your tweezers get the head and not the abdomen.
And then you just kind of pop it straight up.
Yes.
Or
as best
straight
as
up
you
or
can.
Out.
Gentle
yeah.
pressure to get it off so
okay.
it detaches without leaving any pieces inside of you. And then I recommend for all embedded ticks that you save that and you send it in for testing. The website is called Tick Report.
Okay.
And Tick Report has different levels and expenses that they'll charge, but it's generally less expensive than a trip to the doctor. But what they'll do is they'll test for Lyme disease, Rocky Mountain spotted fever, and any of the bacterial diseases carried by a tick. And by doing that testing process and getting that report back fairly quickly, within a week generally,
okay,
that lets you know if you were exposed. Because not every tick is carrying disease in there. They would need to have fed on a host that has that disease. And you would want to know as soon as you can, because if there was a risk that disease was vectored to you, or this can be done in companion animals as well, the earlier you would institute treatment, the greater your chances of a successful outcome.
Okay, so I guess what I'm hearing you say, number one, don't panic. Be logical with your thinking when removing the tick, and not just rip it off, you know, just be very logical. So then when you talked about saving the tick to send it in, how do I do that? Because you and I both know we have gotten bugs for identification or anything brought into an extension office that is kind of mangled up sometimes. So do you put that like in a jar of alcohol, or how do you preserve that tick to get it sent in for identification?
So Tick Report recommends that you just simply put that tick in a plastic bag and mail it as soon as possible to them.
Really?
And you don't need to put it in preservatives, you don't need to freeze it or do anything special with it like that. If it is mangled and it's just little bitty bits, it might not provide the most accurate test results, unfortunately. But if you calmly remove it using the process that we described, pop it in a Ziploc, seal it up, download the instructions and mail it, that is generally going to get you the chance to get the information you need. And then one of the things I recommend is after you've removed a tick from you, that you would wash that area with warm soapy water just to make sure that you keep it as clean as possible. And then monitor it closely and contact your physician if you have any medical concerns.
Yeah. And help them understand, even though, you know, maybe for some people that removing the tick and sending it away is a little bit of overkill, but truthfully, if you have any medical concerns and you have been admitted to a hospital and you have the results of what virus that tick may be carrying, that might be the key that unlocks some or opens some doors for your medical doctor as to how to treat you.
Pretty much when I was in practice and people would ask me, should I do this test? I always say yes, because tests give you information that you need. And it is much better to wait or to do that testing than to wait, because at least in humans and companion animals, the initial symptoms that you see from a lot of these tick vector diseases are just flu-like symptoms.
Exactly.
Which can mimic any disease process. And diseases that are vectored by ticks are universally devastating, whether they're bacterial or viral. They can attack multiple different organ systems in the body, neurologic disease, they can affect your joints, and if they persist for a while and get into a chronic stage, even if you get appropriate diagnosis and treatment, any damage that is caused by tick vector diseases can potentially be permanent and
not often irreversible.
Correct, especially with some of the neurologic diseases or some of the joint diseases and arthritis.
Well, Tim, it's been great to have you here. I have to tell you, this is the interview I walk away from scared, because I know I have to pay attention and I know I have to learn to protect myself. And it's not just that occasional walk in the woods. It's every time I'm outside working in my garden. You know, I mean, just that simple little process that I might enjoy, the awareness is tremendous. And I know you've spent lots of time, lots of hours, put lots of miles on your car, but I think we're all going to be better served by your efforts. And so we certainly thank you Dr. Tim McDermott with Franklin County Extension, our special guest on the 88.9 WLRY Farm Page. A little scary TikTok, but something that I hope that we really pay attention to, and maybe it will help you as you enjoy this great outdoors during the summer of 2019.